Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Strong Sisters of Faith weekly radio program. I'm your host, Dr. Kathleen Todd, and thanks again for tuning in. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in your name that we come this morning. God, we thank you and we praise you for yet another day. We lift up our listening audience. God, we pray that this program will be used for the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray, oh God, that souls would be saved, that someone would cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" And God, at the end, we'll be so careful to give your name the praise, the glory, and all the honor. For it's in your name, Lord, that we do pray, and our hearts do say, Amen. Get your Bible and pen and paper, and towards the end of the program, I'll share some very important information about our organization, Strong Sisters of Faith. But for now, I'd like to get right into the Word of God. So turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter 26, and we just want to look at two verses there, beginning with that 27th verse, Acts chapter 26, verses 27 and 28. You'll find these words recorded, and I'll be reading from King James. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I want to talk around the thought this morning about almost persuaded. Being almost persuaded. The Apostle Paul had preached the gospel clearly to this wicked king, King Agrippa, and he was under a lot of conviction. He was very close to getting saved. And in his own words, he says he was almost persuaded. I want to just linger around that thought this morning, being almost persuaded. You know, there are so many people now who are in hell who were almost persuaded. Many had heard the Bible, had heard the Word of God. They had sat under the gospel and they were preached to. They had realized their lost condition and they knew what they had to do, but they would not do it. So they stopped short. They pulled back. They were almost persuaded. And then something happened. They died and they went to hell. How terrible, how tragic, how sad. Now, I like to deal with reality because I know a lot of you are probably thinking that's pretty harsh. To start off by saying that whenever we don't make that commitment and accept the Lord Jesus Christ into our heart, and God forbid that we die in our sins, then there is no other place but hell. Hell is a place for those who are lost, for those who did not heed to the call of the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Hell, as we know it today, we tend to glamorize everything, and we try to put a nice word to allow it to carry a sweet connotation. But I don't know how else to explain it other than hell or heaven. The Bible doesn't talk about purgatory. It doesn't talk about anything in between. It does not dress up hell. It says what it says. Hell is a place of torment. When we read the Bible, we will see that there are many people who were almost persuaded. Paul had preached to Felix, and we are told that Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time when I have a convenient season, and then I will call for thee," found in the book of Acts chapter 24, verses 24 through 25. But personally, I don't think that Felix ever found his convenient season. Why? Because there is no such thing as a convenient time to get saved. Maybe there is a convenient time to adopt or to get religion, but there is no convenient time, my friend, to get saved. Also, let us consider the rich young ruler who came to the Lord Jesus Christ and found in the book of Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. Who had a lot of worldly riches, and these worldly riches meant more to him than following Jesus. And this was probably like King Agrippa's problem. He loved this pomp and circumstance too much to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, to have the people fluff him up and to blow him up larger than life was more appealing to King Agrippa than to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said to King Agrippa, "Believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Paul does not refer to any specific prophet in particular, but perhaps he was thinking of the prophet of Isaiah, chapter 53. As a Jew, King Agrippa should have believed the Old Testament. Paul had preached that this suffering of the Messiah that was prophesied hundreds of years before was, in fact, Jesus Christ. Paul had preached that sinners must repent and turn to God. This was King Agrippa's opportunity then to repent, since he was hearing so much about the Lord Jesus Christ as Paul laid out the work, the foundation of the gospel. This was indeed King Agrippa's opportunity to repent of his sin and to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. But Paul said, "For the king knowest of these things." King Agrippa knew the prophets, and he knew that Christ had fulfilled the Old Testament messianic prophecies. King Agrippa understood the gospel. He knew the truth. He certainly knew enough to be saved. Yet he said to the Apostle Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." What was the problem? What was this worldly king so unconvinced about? Why was it he was just almost persuaded? The problem was that he was a rebellious king. He had a rebellious heart. King Agrippa did not want to repent of his sins. He did not want to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was king, and he would bow down to no other except to Caesar, but not the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, I must ask, what are we willing to bow down, and what are we not willing to bow down? Men make all kinds of excuses for not getting saved. Sinners often tell me, "I don't want to be a hypocrite. If I get saved, I want to make sure that I'm ready." This sounds really nice, you know, but if you get down to the very bottom where the rubber meets the road, it's just really a lie. That's all it is. What they're really saying is, "I love my sin so much that I do not want to give it up." Yeah, I often hear sinners say, "I am almost ready, but not quite yet. But when I'm ready, I'm going to do it right." I have yet to meet one person who have ever got it right with God after talking like that. Why, my friend? Because the truth of the matter is that we cannot begin to intellectualize our problem. Our problem is sin, and the Bible deals with our sinful nature and tells us that we have to be born again. So therefore, being almost persuaded is just not good enough. Yeah, it's a heart problem. The Bible says that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 tells us that. So let me be blunt. When a person hears the truth of God, hear God's word, and remains unconvinced, he is calling God a liar. And the penalty for that is eternity in hell. Which brings me to my last point. There are folk who are almost persuaded. But almost persuaded means halfway to hell. It means having one foot on a slippery slope and the other foot in hell. The Bible is clear. Almost persuaded is already lost. Almost persuaded is condemned to hell. Almost persuaded is under the wrath of God. So when the gospel is preached and the invitation is given to sinners, you have to make a decision. You have to decide. You're going to take a stand for God. You're going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior. You're going to make up your mind. You're not going to be almost persuaded. You are going to do so assuredly. You're going to do so intentionally, knowing that when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart, you're not almost persuaded, but you know without a shadow of a doubt that God has written your name down in his book of eternal life. My friend, if you are in that state whereby you could say you're almost, but you're not quite yet ready, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Father God, I do pray for those who are on the brink. They have heard your word, and they have not made a commitment. They are lingering, almost, but almost is not good enough. I pray right now, God, that you'll draw them by your Holy Spirit, that you would convict and convert. Thank you, Jesus, for the conviction, and thank you for converting. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. My friend, I would like to share some very important information with you concerning our organization, Strong Sisters of Faith. Every second Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, we meet at 1709 South 56th Street in the heart of Southwest Philadelphia. We have our School of Ministry the second Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Won't you come out and be a part? Or you can also check us out on the web at www.strongsistersoffaith.org. Until we meet again via airwaves, may the Lord keep and hold you in the palm of his hand. God bless.